we make time right now for our interview on the discussion of the revelations of late relating to the National Security Agency surveillance of U.S. and foreign communications as revealed by Edward Snowden. And with us to discuss this issue and how this is being debated here in the United States is Norman Solomon, co-founder of RootsAction.org and founding director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. His books include War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death, and Made Love Got War, Close Encounters with America's Warfare State. Norman, it's great to have you on the air again. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
So I was very keen on reading your recent columns that our listeners can find at commondreams.org, and you can certainly give some other websites out before we say goodnight. But one of them was titled David Brooks, Tom Friedman, Bill Keller, Wish Snowden Had Just Followed Orders. And the other one that our listeners can look up is Clarity from Edward Snowden and Murky Response from Progressive Leaders in Congress. It really speaks to a real fear out there among legislators who are supposed to be leaders, of course. They're fearful of confronting the national security state, the national surveillance state. There's a lot of boldness on some other issues, but in confronting this surveillance regime, a lot of scared legislators up there in Capitol Hill.
Well, the dynamic does point up just the tremendous challenge that we have to turn around this momentum of what we might call the warfare state or the surveillance warfare state. And when you add in the role of these huge conglomerate corporations, basically in partnership in terms of online tech services, many multi-billion dollars being brought in every week from the aggregate of those companies. These are cooperative entities that are part of not only the warfare enterprises and the huge military budget, but also the specific ringing the bell and pushing the buttons around what we call national security and the invocations of fear, terrorism, and so forth. I think that the revelations about NSA surveillance, courtesy of Edward Snowden, has really heightened the crossroads that we're at now. And the cliche is, I think, for better and worse, true. When people lead, the leaders will follow, but not before. If you have a representative from your district in the United States House of Representatives or senators, it's very, very unusual that that person, even if they talk in progressive terms, will be willing to challenge this configuration of surveillance and unending war that Edward Snowden has really illuminated.
And, Norman, from your perspective, a lot of the debate around Edward Snowden and his decision to come forward in revealing this information to the U.S. and the world public is the debate about whether he is a hero or a traitor. And Edward Snowden, to his credit, says, I'm neither a hero or a traitor. I'm an American. And he's got a lot of courage because obviously there's going to be severe consequences for him down the line. But what do you make about the narrow kind of confines of the debate in the United States about who he is and what his motivation is, rather than focusing on the bigger issue of what he revealed?
Yeah, as the days and weeks go by after the initial revelations and him stepping forward as the source of them, there's a strong inclination of news media, partly understandable, who is this person, but it's an over-personalization, which he himself has pushed back against, that is in danger of obscuring what's at stake. For instance, the Fourth Amendment, the prohibition against unreasonable search and seizures, something that's just central to the Bill of Rights that we grew up learning about in civics class. No, the government doesn't just have the right to come through your front door or back door or window and go through all your stuff and eavesdrop. You're supposed to be secure in your home and your persons and your capacity for something that we call privacy. And so I think that Edward Snowden is about as good as you're going to get, as we are going to get, in terms of a whistleblower who, out of principle, exposes massive wrongdoing and violation of basic constitutional rights, what we call the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, and so forth. I was speaking yesterday with the great whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, who brought us the Pentagon Papers, and he remains absolutely unequivocal in his praise and support for Edward Snowden, as he does for Bradley Manning, now in trial and court-martial for, quote, aiding the enemy, unquote, as a U.S. Army private, divulging so many atrocities and deceptions, cables trafficked in by the U.S. government. And we often forget, in that case, there was nothing that Bradley Manning divulged that was even top secret, let alone what, you know, the kind of materials that Daniel Ellsberg released and is now revered as the whistleblower of the Pentagon Papers. So I think it's a tremendous opportunity, but certainly a challenge, to go up against the headwinds of a lot of the mass media and say, this is about our rights. This is about a government that has become a warfare surveillance state. It's bipartisan, and as president, Obama is driving that train in the wrong direction.
Our guest tonight is Norman Solomon, co-founder of RootsAction.org. And Norman, just as an aside here, you've got a petition that you initiated that speaks to the issues of Edward Snowden and protecting him. Maybe you could speak to what our listeners could do or how they could find this petition.
Yes, I'd like to invite everybody listening to go to the website RootsAction.org. That's R-O-O-T-S, action.org. And you'll see on the homepage a link for the petition to thank Edward Snowden for revealing this NSA surveillance, to show support for him, and to express opposition to the surveillance that has become just routine for everybody in the United States in terms of our phone numbers, when we call, who we call, duration, location. And so RootsAction.org now has, as we speak, I think it's about 60,000 individuals have signed that petition. And while you're there, elsewhere on the homepage, there is a petition to urge the Nobel Committee to give the Nobel Peace Prize to Bradley Manning. That petition has more than 70,000 signers, and people are invited to sign that as well. We'll be taking that petition to Oslo to present it directly to the Nobel Committee.
Norman, as you and our listeners have been reading about, there are various public opinion polls, both speaking to the reaction to people to Edward Snowden's revelations about whether he was right or wrong to reveal them, but also on the surveillance system that was revealed. And at least one poll from the Washington Post stated that the public opinion was on the side of the surveillance security state, that people appreciated that the government was looking over the shoulder, but to prevent terrorist acts which could disrupt and harm them. What do you make of these opinion polls?
Well, there are some more recent polls that show more even division, or even tilting in the other direction, depending on when the poll was done and the way the phrasing was put forward. Likewise, I think there's been some remarkable poll numbers nationally making clear that more people than not believe that Edward Snowden did the right thing. And the numbers are showing that more than half of the American people, according to the polling, do believe that Snowden did the right thing in releasing this information, and yet most people think he should be prosecuted and punished. So you got to figure that in the Venn diagram, some of those folks believe, well, what he did was good, but he should pay the penalty. Well, I think these numbers are much better for Snowden and for the beliefs that he and so many of us share than we might have thought at the drop of a hat, because the vilification machinery began immediately. We've had Speaker Boehner in the U.S. House calling him, quote, a traitor. We've had the chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein, saying what he did was, quote, an act of treason, unquote. And just in recent days in the pundit class, we had David Brooks, the New York Times columnist, appearing on the PBS NewsHour saying on June 14th that Edward Snowden is, quote, a traitor, unquote. And in fact, I think it's notable that so much of the liberal media have been willing to condemn what Edward Snowden did out of loyalty to the warfare state, sometimes, not always, with some trust and loyalty for President Obama. And so we have, at the New York Times editorial pages, not only the columnist David Brooks making those noises, but also Thomas Friedman and the former executive editor Bill Keller at the New York Times, who now has a regular column, writing this, what I think is a very twisted attempt to justify this spying and to condemn Edward Snowden. You know, both Tom Friedman and Bill Keller have this very convoluted pseudo-logic that actually the government spying on us through the internet, through telephone records, is actually a good thing, because if they weren't spying on us and then there was another tragic big act of terrorism like 9/11, then it would be a tremendous setback for civil liberties, and there would be a huge crunching wave of support and implementation for draconian crackdowns on civil liberties. So essentially what Thomas Friedman and Bill Keller at the New York Times and others are arguing is that you shouldn't fight for civil liberties. You shouldn't fight for the Fourth Amendment, for instance. What you should do is voluntarily surrender some of those rights so you don't end up having to have more of them taken away from you later. And, you know, if that's the approach we're going to take, we may as well hang it up and just burn the Bill of Rights. That is absurd, and yet this is coming from people who claim to be political liberals.
Norman Solomon is our guest tonight, talking about the revelations of the national surveillance state as revealed by Edward Snowden. And, Norman, just a final question for you here, and that is, we hear a lot of discussion from people on people defending the surveillance programs revealed here, and they talk about a proper balance between security and liberty. But of course, these programs are top secret, the details of which, beyond what Edward Snowden has already discussed publicly, are not going to be openly debated in Congress or in the public sphere. So how do we come to the right balance? Obviously, there are a lot of people in this country who are swayed by the argument that many terrorists, dozens of terrorists, plots have been foiled by this system. And of course, it's people's natural reaction to want to remain safe. But how do we have that open debate about the proper balance when we can't talk about the details?
Yes, I think it's key that if we're going to have a society with meaningful consent of the governed, then the governed have to have meaningful access to information about what their government is doing or trying to do. And in point of fact, it's the secrecy that's antithetical to democracy. A lot of the media frame of finding the proper balance implies, and sometimes straight out says, in effect, that the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, other key aspects of the Bill of Rights are sort of advisory. They're sort of like good ideas that you get to take and leave. You get to cherry pick sometimes some of it, and then you get to throw some of it away. And that's never been the concept presented by the founders in terms of the Bill of Rights. And we know that there were many flaws in the Constitution and terrible injustices against black people and the slavery, and women couldn't vote. But still in all, there was, through the Bill of Rights, this tremendous wisdom. And it wasn't presented as though, well, these are some good ideas, take them or leave them. No, the First Amendment, the right to be secure in your persons and possessions and so forth, without unless there's a warrant, a justifiable warrant, that's essential to what our constitutional rights are about. And we don't get to just pick and choose, or have them picked and choosed for us, and still have a democracy. So we've got to make those choices.
Well, Norman, it's great to have you on talking about this, as you have in the recent columns. Again, you're the author of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. We don't have a lot of time tonight. We'll have to have you back to talk about what may be an escalation of U.S. Involvement in the Syrian conflict, some dangerous times. We just got a chance to talk with Phyllis Bennis about that a few minutes ago, but I'll definitely want to have you back to talk more about where we're headed, where we've been, and you know, the history of this country moving into conflicts every few years. It seems like we might be on that trajectory again, unfortunately.
Yes, a huge danger now again. Thanks so much, Scott.
All right, Norman, appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon. Thanks.
Great.
Bye-bye. That's Norman Solomon, co-founder of RootsAction.org and founding director of the Institute for Public Accuracy.